right, so this is still in beta. I think this might be episode 99. I think we're right on the cusp of 100th episode.
Ooh, I can't believe we've done this this many times.
Yeah, I... Yeah.
It's kind of like, why?
Yeah, it is. It is kind of like, why? But, you know... I don't know. I mean, it gives us an excuse to, like, just rant into the void.
It's true.
So, it's better than being on Twitter, I guess. So, I have been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is Final Fantasy VII Remake number 2, and I am really enjoying it. Like, it... I think a lot of people dogged on the first one because it took the Midgar section and expanded it to like a 20-hour game.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, this is just supposed to be 8 hours. Why did you make it so long? But I thought it was really neat because it added a lot of context and filled out some stuff on stuff people like Avalanche as a group. And those
right
ideas.
But it also did a lot of like weird like spoiler stuff. Like, it's very like you had to have played Final Fantasy VII originally to get a lot of the stuff that happened in the remake, because like stuff like bringing like Sephiroth was just this like this mystery guy,
yeah.
You know, the first in the original game at that point, right? Like, you have to actually get out of Midgar and get to that whole like flashback sequence to even care about that person at all. And it's like they turned him into like an end boss of that game, sort of. It was just,
yeah,
it was very weird. Like, the ending is the part that I think bugs me, is because they like that part of the game is really just supposed to be getting out of the city and that's it. And then they made it this like sort of weird, like almost like they made it like they weren't going to make the rest of the chapters almost, right? Where it felt like you could have just ended and never played it again at all from that point.
Well, I think it had to feel one. I think the ending had to feel like it was self-contained because it is its own game. But two, what I think it, after playing some of the second one, like that first game's ending feels completely intentional for like why they built it up like that. But because you end up killing a manifestation of I guess like canon, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're basically killing the entity that's trying to like enforce a canon timeline, and like in the game you are destroying it and basically like saying like whatever, we're not beholden to the old game.
Feels like this was like a Rick and Morty episode in terms of plot structure.
Yeah. And so the all of that stuff, like I was like on the fence about all the time ghosts and everything and like their interventions and things, and like none of those, because you defeated them, like none of that stuff to an extent, none of that stuff has like come back up. Like I've never seen the time ghosts. I'm like 20 something hours into this game already. And there's just been like references to them, like Aerith referring back to all that stuff. But like, yeah, I guess I agree with you that like, if you hadn't played the first game, you'd be sort of like, what the hell is going on? Like, what is, why, who is this? Like, why does all this stuff matter? And, Yeah. So it does seem like it is for people who had played the original game, not necessarily for new people. And the other thing was, like, because I played the Integrade, you know, Yuffie DLC stuff too. You get to the end of that DLC. Did you play that?
No.
Oh, you get to the end of that DLC and there's like some wackadoo boss fight that I'm like, who the heck even are these people? And I don't know who they are because they were never in the original game, but they were in some like phone spinoff game. And they get introduced and they're the most like, they're the most like Kingdom Hearts people you've ever seen showing up in Final Fantasy VII.
And they got like the trench coats with the hoods and everything.
No, they've got like a bunch of weird straps for strap reasons. And it's
like my outfit is belts.
Yeah. And like, but he's like, one of the guys is like bound up in belts. And then there's like belts over like Hannibal Lecter over his face and everything. And then like at different point, like throughout the battle, like some of the belts loose.
I like how you said that this is Kingdom Hearts. Is Kingdom Hearts just like Kawaii Hellraiser? Like what?
Yeah. Well, I think what I'm, when I say Kingdom Hearts, it's like,
that's more like is, Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. This is like,
oh God, new video game idea. Kink Dom Hearts.
Yeah. Kink / Dom Hearts. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a meme to make after this.
Wait. So hold on. Do you play as the sub or are you like, how does that work? Are you the Dom? Is it like Pokemon?
What was the main character's name?
Sora?
Subra.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And.
And the theme song is still simple and clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And there's still gummy ships for some reason.
Gummy ship is the safe word.
Yeah. Jeez. That's, you know, that probably already exists somewhere.
I'm going to just look it up now. I'm going to find a, an image of it.
I'm just like picturing that like Donald has like one of those like horse whips instead of a wand. You know what I'm talking about? The riding, the riding thing.
Yeah. And Goofy's in a gimp mask.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Goofy's safe word is Yahoo-wee. So there's that. But anyway, what I actually meant by Kingdom Hearts was just like, here's a random character that's just kind of like thrown out you who looks ridiculous, like who looks the most anime. Uh-huh. And there's no real explanation for him existing, but he also talks in like very esoteric words and is like really just like monotone and like mysterious. And that's these.
So guys. You've arrived finally, as it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stuff like that. And talking about like how they've awakened his power or unleashed something they can't take back or something like that. So
like you've done nothing, but you've played exactly into my hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even the like the previous people that you thought were the boss, like all the Shinra people that you're like, oh man, I gotta fight these people because they're the bad guys. And then it's like, no. It's actually these two guys. They're the bad guys. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. And the Shinra guys are like, what?
Yeah.
We had a boss?
So, yeah. And you know they're bad because they start killing, like, random Shinra people. So when the Shinra bad guys start killing their own, like, Shinra people to, like, absorb their powers or whatever, then you know they're the real bad guys.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, so the this game like takes it sort of resets you from a power standpoint, like you're reset to like level 15 and like all of your materia is just like jumbled up. There's a few like summons or whatever that you still have as carryovers and a few like magic and stuff, but everybody kind of has their own stuff and all of their weapons are reset. And so like weapon upgrades, completely different. Like it's a completely different system now. And instead you have like your level ups are now a like sphere grid sort of system. And then the, like, there's just so much that has changed in this game from like, for every aspect of like leveling up and combat. Cause there is like an open world stuff now. So you can like run up to an enemy and start a fight with it. And, you've got your party of three, but it's actually a party of five, right? Because there's two other people who are just like not like in it. Uh-huh. And they'll like, if you just like toss, you know, Barrett and Aerith or whatever in the back row, they'll just shoot people here and there, you know, from the outside shooting into the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just really interesting. So the Intergrade DLC also introduced with Yuffie the common, like, I guess, beat 'em up stuff of like perfect blocks and like parries. And so you can like perfect time your block, like pushing the block. And if you do that, you're just immune. You're just immune to the damage. And there's even a materia, like a purple materia, that you can get that is increases the window for that timing a little bit. And then as you increase the level of that materia, it like does additional stuff. So like level two,
like you get healed when you block.
Well, it's not that good, but it's like when you block, cause you're already immune. So when you blocked, you just ignore the damage. But when you level it up to level two, when you block, you put stagger on them, like you fill their stagger meter. So them trying to attack you actually staggers them. And then the max level is like moves that will be like a grapple move that are normally unblockable and you have to dodge. You can block those as well. So like it's pretty cool. And then like sometimes team members like Tifa will just be naturally better at doing the perfect block because of their, like, probably their speed stat or something. So they'll just like occasionally block and be immune to damage. And then the DLC also introduced, because you only control Yuffie in that game, but you have another party member, it introduced this idea of like synergy attacks. So like in that, the DLC, you like switch into a synergy mode and then all of your attacks are synergy attacks. But in this one, if you're holding block, the face buttons, instead of being like dodge and attacks, it becomes different, like shortcuts to different synergy attacks that every combination of one character with another character has a different synergy attack or defense move. And so like one of the defense moves that you have with Cloud, if you have like a Red 13 or Barrett in your party, is you can hit it and you strike a pose for like a second where you can be immune to ranged attack damage and then counter attack from that. So like between the like perfect block and the ranged counter attack thing, like you can be immune to most damage as long as you remember that you have those things. Man. Yeah. It's just like the fighting stuff that they introduced is really cool. I really am enjoying it. And I was talking to a friend of mine and he was like, man, I wish there were like fewer fights in the overworld. And I'm like, I wish there were more fights in the overworld. I want to fight more stuff.
So the new game is building off of the DLC mechanics.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And added more mechanics.
Because there's also like Okay. So also they've added this thing where if you do what they call weapon abilities, which is like focus strike or the like cross slash stuff where you build up an ATB gauge and then you perform a move that was one you were learning off of an equipped weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you cast, magic. Well, there's certain things that cost ATB that will like fill a pip on a bar, and there's like 5 pips on this bar. And what that does is like as you and your party members fill these pips, like that begins to unlock synergy abilities, which can be cast for no ATB, and they have different like temporary effects, but they can only be used, I think, once per battle. And so like one might be like there's one that like Cloud and Tifa have where you do this synergy ability and it increases the stagger multiplier and duration of the stagger time that an enemy has. So if you like stagger an enemy and then do this move, it like increases the stagger counter. So you got longer to like hit them while they're staggered. But it also is like kind of a limit break because it does a ton of damage. But then one that Cloud and Barret have together is a different thing. It doesn't do any damage, but it just gives you both. It's like that ATB up ability where like you break the 2 ATB meters into 3. So you can get ATB meters faster. And I think if Barret has 3 meters, his skills like Focused Shot and Max Fury do like even more damage. And so that's a benefit there. But yeah, there's just a lot of really cool stuff that they added to how the combat works and how some of the materia works. And then there's all the goofy story stuff that they added. And I think it's so stupid that I love it. Like, it's
okay.
Like, do you remember Roche, the guy on the motorcycle who's part of Soldier?
No.
Do you not remember the guy? Like, you have the whole motorcycle, like, minigame, like, going up to...
Oh, well, I remember the motorcycle minigame, like, when the giant, like... robot thing is chasing you.
Oh no, this is way earlier in the game, like when you're riding up with like Wedge and Jesse and stuff to the top.
Oh right, like okay, you're talking about from, you're not I thought you were talking about like the original game, like this is just like the character they threw in the new game. Yes,
okay, yeah
sure,
yeah, this is a new guy who's like a new guy who's like part of Soldier, like the, you know, because you basically, in the first original game, it's you and Zack and Sephiroth are the only people that are in Soldier that you ever see.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so this is a guy who's, like, part of Soldier.
Yeah, because they needed to have so more boss fights guy. In that 20-hour, the turn into 20 hours. They just threw this guy in. Yes.
Yeah, so they throw this guy in, and he's ridiculous. And he's, like, talking about how you guys are best friends now. And, that kind of stuff. And then you beat him up and it's like, am I ever going to see that guy again? And you do, like, he comes back and it comes back in such a great way that like he showed up and I thought, this is okay. This is that silly guy from the first one. But then you have a big boss fight with him and it's like, they've like leaned into goofy, like anime characters in this game. And like, you know, Shinra middle manager comes back and he's great. And Chadley's back and he's awesome. Like, everything's so dumb. I love it. And like the writing for like Cloud and Barret and stuff, it's cracking me up because it's so like, it's so goofy. But yeah, I it's a game where like I really want to play it and like keep playing through it, but I also am just like, oh man, I don't want to like finish it, you know. I don't want to finish it too fast. I want to see everything.
Mm-hmm. Is there chocobo breeding in this one?
There are different chocobo breeds, and you can ride on chocobos. Okay. And there are chocobo ranches. And I believe the golden saucer is in this game.
Okay.
And so to answer your question, I don't know. Okay. I haven't gotten that far yet. And I haven't looked it up. But there is the whole like relationship meters stuff where like you know how in the original game you had different people you could go on a date with at the Golden Saucer, yes. But all of the mechanics about that was like invisible and you kind of just had to use a guide. Well, it's very much less invisible this time. Like you can hit a button and they all have like icons over their head that say like, I am happy with you this much.
Uh-huh. So now you can really make sure that you end up going on the date with Barrett instead of the other two.
Yeah, although that is pretty, I think I'll have to do that on my second playthrough because it's pretty difficult to like both do all the side quests, because some of the side quests like change your affinity with people.
Mm-hmm. That was the problem with it in the first game. It was like just having the characters in your party like built up their affinity. It's like, well, Eris is like the best magic user, so I'm gonna have her in my party all the time. And then like freaking, you know, so she's always gonna be the date because I always put her in the party. Also because I always wanted to get her ultimate limit break unlocked before, you know, she bit the dust. And so that meant you had to like play her pretty heavily in the early part of the game.
Yeah. So. But yeah, this game feels it feels like I'm playing an anime in like a good way. Like I just got done with the beach episode.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, awesome. Like this is great. Nice.
Well, that sounds cool. So I got Dragon's Dogma 2. And yes. I haven't played it very much.
Who did you model your team after?
I didn't really make them look like, this is just like my first like run to kind of test things out. So I just made like just two random characters. Like they don't really look like anything. So like I made my character like the most massive dude. My main character is like just the most massive dude possible. Just like absolutely gigantic, and I like I'm already regretting it because it's like I'm running around. I'm pretty sure my character's like 8 feet tall or something. It's ridiculous because it's like you're running through like houses and stuff, and it's just like everything is so small. Like my head is like scraping the ceiling anytime I walk inside a room. Uh-huh. And it's like every character that I interact with is like a child. They come up to like my shoulder.
Tell me you chose like Thief as your starting class.
Yes, of course. The two daggers. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I chose Thief as my starting class for him. And then my pawn is named Tubby Tabby. And
yes.
Tubby Tabby is the shortest, fattest cat I can possibly make. Like I chose because there's like they added a second race, play like a character race, so they had like the beastmen. They're just cat people. They're the Khajiits or the, I can't remember what the D&D version is. The cat people. They're the cat people race. And so Tubby Tabby is just as short and as fat as you can make a character, but also a cat. And I tried to make sure that the coloration matched a tabby cat.
You got to send me a screenshot of this dude.
Yeah. But I've already like totally happy with my decision to play a thief character. Like, I'm probably going to be like the Thief Ranger. And I think Wayfarer is kind of like the hybrid eventually that, like, I think does the daggers and a bow. But I think that's probably what I'm going to do with this character. But I'm so happy. I've already got like a Zat Brannigan type outfit for him. And I've only been playing for like, I've only changed equipment like three times, like armor and stuff. But like, so I found Ranger tights, which is like the tights cut off like mid thigh. It's like leggings that cut off mid thigh and they lace up on the sides. And then it's a bikini underwear for the rest to cover the rest of the body. So that's the pants. That's the leg armor. Yeah. And then the chest armor is like a coat that like the waist kind of goes down to like about 6 inches past the waist. So it cinches at the waist. And then there's like a, like another kind of 6 inches of fabric. Like, and so like, it's fantastic. Cause again, like I didn't make my main character fat. He's like muscular, but he's like so thick, like rap album thick. And then like, I made like a short recording of it when I first got the outfit. It's like 6 seconds, but like you can't see the underpants when he's standing still. But every time you kind of take off or fall a little bit, that coat flashes up and it's just ass, just boom. The ass just fills the screen. It's just like, I've got to figure out how to get a video like online so people can see it. But yes, just like this outfit is perfect. It's just like, every once in a while it's just flashing massive cake on screen. And so now it's like, oh, so I'm going to have to start over and make that the pawn with just
that other people.
Yeah, so that other people see the cake flashing, you know, character. But it's great.
What class is Tubby
Tabby? Tabby is just started with just like the fighter, like the sword and shield class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that and just kind of rent out other people's mages is what I would do most of the time in the original game.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I like to, sometimes I like to do the mage as my support pawn, like the healer, just to make sure that my team always has somebody with all of the like healing effects that I want on it, because it can be a pain, like if you need like the spell that like cures a certain debilitation and you're trying to find somebody that does that, you know, does that effect on them. But one thing that they did that helps a lot is that the mage class, like in the original game, the heal spell was one of the like abilities that you had to like put on, like you had to equip, right? You had only so many active like weapon abilities that you could equip, right? Yeah. And with this one, they make the basic healing, like I think it's anodyne or something like that, but the basic heal spell in this one is just like a default action that the character gets. There's a like the buttons, there's like a skill, like every class has a skill that it, like maps to like R1, I think, which is like, so you get like a default action. And so like for the sword and shield, it's the it's the shield block, right? So you can deflect attacks. With the thief, it's the dodge action. So I guess with the mage, maybe that's like the button that casts the heal spell. But all I know is that it's inherent in the mage class. You don't have to make sure that it's equipped. So that's very helpful. So at least anytime you hire a mage as a pawn, you know you're always going to at least get the heal spell.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It is annoying that that I don't have access to a ranged attack, because like the original game, there was three classes, right? There was the, I think it was
the fighter, the mage, and the thief, or the ranger.
I think it might have been Wayfarer, might have been the original, like, third class. Because there was, like, the, and that one could use daggers and a bow, right?
Because you could start with daggers and a bow, and then multi-class or subclass with your hybrid. There was like three.
Yeah, the three main classes were daggers and bow, staff, and sword and shield. And then sword and shield, and then sword.
Oh, they called it. There's fighter, strider.
Yeah, main. So strider like was combined. Yeah. Like it had both sword, daggers, and a bow. And then, like, the fighter had, like, an advanced class, the warrior, which went from a sword and shield to a two-handed weapon. And then the mage went to sorcerer, which went from a staff to a more other staff. But, like, the sorcerer was, like, more, like, big spells and damage-focused, while the mage was more support-focused. And then the Strider's advanced class was assassin, right?
That was a hybrid.
That one was class. A hybrid?
Yeah, so the advanced were warrior, ranger, and sorcerer. And then the hybrids were assassin,
magic archer,
mystic.
So what made ranger different than strider?
You could use longbows.
Okay. I feel like that was the one that like seemed the least. That was clearly like the one that stood out the least as far as how different it was from the lower class, because it just, yeah.
Yeah, I never really got it. And it also, like, when you had the option between ranger and magic archer, it was just like, are you kidding me? Like, magic archer was so OP.
Well, yes, compared yes. To... Well, first of all, like ranger. Yeah, ranger was definitely like the most like. Who chooses that of all the options? Who chooses ranger for anything? Because like magic archer, like you didn't even have to aim anymore, right? Like stuff would just home in on its target, and it was just always like, it just was so much more devastating. Like everything you could do with as a magic archer was just seemed way more powerful than like the stuff that you could do as a ranger.
Yeah. Like if you were using a regular bow, either with a short bow or a long bow, you had to like aim pretty okay. Yeah. And then when you picked magic archer, it was like, well, here's your big half the screen's a homing radius. So like go for
right.
it.
Yeah. But and then like at least like assassin, you know, used a regular bow too, but at least assassin had like other elements. Like assassin wasn't so much like you could do ranged combat with assassin, which was nice. But on yeah. the other hand, like assassin was the one that was like amazing to just like climb up onto a monster and like gouge at the weak spots, because that one, like if you were hitting the weak spots, you did the most damage out of any class, you know, because I remember like being an assassin, like climbing up onto like the giant cyclops and then just like sticking the sword in his eyeball and just like grinding it around in there. And it would just do like half his life in like one go.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about, yeah, assassins, you know, they still have the same like benefits to like stamina and stuff that the strider has, which was like, because like your level advancement is dictated by the class you start with in
yeah.
the game. And so like how much health and stamina and stuff you get off the bat is determined by your starting, like which class you are when you level up, I want to say.
Yes. Yes.
And so when you start with, at low level with the strider and then move into assassin, you get just like crazy stamina, which is how you hang on to those
yeah.
guys. Yeah. Yeah. And then when you can move on, because the assassin gets the swords, so then you can do like way more damage
right.
to jab them in the eyeball. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. And that's another reason why I'm probably going to start the game over relatively soon too, is because like I kind of want to just play through a little bit to just kind of get a feel for it. Like I've just like in this game to access any class beyond the starting four, you have to do quests to unlock them. So part of it is kind of figuring out like how to, where to go to unlock all that stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. I just did the quest to unlock Sorcerer and Warrior. So that's all of the classes that a pawn can learn. And then there's all the advanced classes. And I feel like they're all different from, I'm not sure, but it seems like they replaced all of them. Magic Archer might still be in there, but like, because before there was like Mystic Knight or something, right? Was one, and Assassin. I don't think Assassin's on there. So I think the hybrid ones are all like new. So there is Magic Archer, but then the Mystic Knight or whatever it was before, I think, is replaced with Mystic Spear Hand. And then there's Wayfarer, and there's not Assassin. So I think Wayfarer is more like, maybe more like the Assassin type. And then there's Trickster. And I don't know what any of those guys are or what they're about, really.
So I'm looking at this. So you start, it looks like they split the Strider into Thief.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They separated them. Like that's the thing that sucks about choosing Thief now is I still get to climb up the monsters and stuff, but I don't get the ranged attack anymore.
Okay. So looking at this website that's listing them, Mystic Spear Hand looks like it's the Mystic Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they have
Magic Archer, Trickster. The hell is this?
Yeah, Trickster. I don't know what the hell Trickster is. And then Wayfarer, I think, is like, it seems like it's a kind of a combo of like everything, right? Like magic, fighting, and ranged attacks. Wayfarer just seems kind of like the,
you can use any combination of three weapons in the game.
So
you can choose the skills from each of your chosen weapon.
Yeah, so it seems like Wayfarer is like the, you know, I want to do a little bit of everything kind of class.
Uh-huh.
So it's sort of like, that's interesting, especially if you can take something like like a Magic Archer that also has, you know, sorcery or something, right? Like that would be kind of interesting, but it seems kind of like Wayfarer is like the master class or something. Like you have to like, really, you've got to like max out the other classes you want before you go into that one,
possibly.
I also suspect that stat wise Wayfarer may be like one of the shittiest ones when you level up.
Oh yeah, probably. Like it's just like it's going to be kind of meh.
Yeah, on all, it'll give you like a bad roll on all of them rather than like a couple of good ones to focus on.
Yeah, it looks like the Trickster is some kind of like crowd control, trap master thing.
Yeah, I think that the thing that I don't get is like, it doesn't feel like Thief has like. Fighter and Mage clearly have like Sorcerer and Warrior to roll into, like as like a, you know, an upgrade sort of feeling version, but it doesn't feel like Thief or Archer have that at all, really. Like what's the, you know, if you start as a Thief, what's a good, you know, class to roll onto after that, you know? And that part doesn't seem like it's planned out as well.
Yeah, I don't know, unless the idea is you go into that Trickster thing, like if that has other, I guess, stealth or something,
yeah,
options, but I don't really know.
Yeah. I mean, the name of it, it sounds like that's, you know, a thief thing, but like a lot of the description of it makes it seem more like it's a mage type of class. So.
Well, maybe that is the thing. Maybe it is like a mage thief combo. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, always Magic Archer.
Right.
Magic Archer was so nuts in the original game. I don't know how I don't pick that. I don't know how I, you know.
I mean, I played that game enough that I've played every class and done, you know, like the in-game content as just about every class. Not really mage so much. Like if you're gonna be the main character and play as mage, you might as well just play sorcerer. That's like way more fun. But like, yeah. I mean, I've done, and like probably ranger was another one that I never really did. But like, I've definitely played through the in-game as Mystic Knight. I definitely played through a sorcerer as assassin. Warrior. I'm pretty sure I've done. I mean, I played that game a bunch of times, you know, so I'm pretty sure I've done all of them, at least all of the cool ones. I would say at least once.
Yeah, I don't think I ever really played a mage because I didn't like how the aiming spells felt on a controller. And was just like, ugh.
See, and like, but like you've got to do it at least once. Like, and like to get, I mean, you can play a Strider up until like you unlock Sorcerer, but like you've got to like try Sorcerer at least once. It's so ridiculous. Like, I mean, some of it is like, let me go try and hide in this corner for like the 5 hours it takes to charge up this spell. But then it's like, okay, I've released it, and now the entire world is covered in meteors raining down, and everything is dead. And it's just...
Yeah. When I did have a sorcerer in my party, it was every once in a while, I would just be like, what's going on? Oh, no, now there's a planet on me. What is happening?
Yeah. I mean, it was just it's so satisfying when you get some of that stuff to work out. Also, there's, like, a whole, like, sorcerer... has its own like movement. Like that's another reason why I like the thief choice. Like when I started with it, because thief gets double jump like almost immediately.
Oh right? Yeah.
But like, sorcerer gets like the Princess Peach hover movement. So you can like, you know, like you jump and then you just kind of float in a, like you don't gain any altitude, but you just float forward in a direction. And you combine that with some of the higher level ice spell will leave a platform of ice. And so there's like all these areas of the map that you just have to be a sorcerer to access, because you summon this giant chunk of ice and you climb on top of it. And then you Princess Peach float over to some other platform. And that's the only way to get there.
Oh, geez. I had no idea.
Yeah. There's
because I never play sorcerer.
Yeah. And it's awesome. And I'm sure maybe there's other ways to get to that thing sometimes. But like that's like for certain spots, that's like a speed run tactic. It's just like Princess Peach your way over to this thing. Use the ice, you know, to give you an extra like lift, uplift and platform and stuff. And there's like a lot of stuff like that where it's like, this exit to a cave that you can see like right outside this. There's like literally like an exit to a cave, like right outside the starting area of the game, like where you know, that little beach village. And if you can summon the ice and float over, like you can get to that entrance, which is like has a treasure chest with some valuable stuff in it. But it's like a huge long ass, like, you know, day's walk to get through up to that point otherwise. And you can just like jump up there and get to it if you start that option.
So yeah, sorcerer is the like sequence break character.
Well, yeah, well in the original game it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was definitely a bunch of treasure chests. Like, again, that's part of why I haven't gotten very far, is because I was exploring, like, the entire, like, not the starting village, but, like, the first one that you get to that's got, like, the port crystal and stuff. The big city that the main quest sends you to, you know, like, I spent, like, so much time just exploring that city with my thief character, like, double jumping up on the roofs and running around to find all the treasure chests and crap that were just in that starting, in that city. So I played for, like, a day and, like, didn't do any quests or anything, because I'm just, like, dicking around stealing all the nobles' clothing.
Yeah.
Seriously, I found this, like, I'm calling it the frumpy outfit. I can't remember the name. It was, like, nobles' clothes or whatever. Like, I found, like, six sets of nobles' clothing. And it's, like, they clearly want you to find a set. Like, there's like, a plot point where it's obviously, like, building up to, like, there's, like, some masquerade. And, like, because they've had several tutorial alerts about it, like, you better be wearing fancy clothes when you show up at this place. And, like, there's a merchant that sells it for, like, way too much. But then I found, like, several copies of the outfit.
What would be great is if you saw NPCs walking around in, like nobles walking around in, like, you know, no clothes or something. Because they don't have them anymore.
I stole all their clothes. Yeah.
Did you... Okay. I kind of want to talk... Did you see the link in here about Beetlejuice?
I haven't followed up on it, but I saw that it was there.
Yeah.
So, what about it?
It's a Beetlejuice 2.
Uh-huh.
It's a Beetlejuice 2. And it's not just a joke. Like, they made a movie, or they're making one. And it's going to come out this year.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of snuck up on me. Because, like, the last... I read an article, like, I don't know, 2 years ago or something, that was, like... There was this lost Beetlejuice 2 script where Beetlejuice goes to Hawaii or something like that. I was like, what? And then I saw this trailer and was... And again, was just like, what am I... What? And they got, you know, Winona Ryder back. They got Catherine O'Hara back. And most importantly, they got Michael Keaton back. But what I didn't see, because, okay, so the guy who played Otho is dead. And the guy who played the dad, Dietz, is dead. Mm-hmm. And they can't
Alec do Alec Baldwin.
His career is dead.
But Alec Baldwin was, like, much older and, let's face it, fatter. And, like, that doesn't happen to dead people in the Beetlejuice universe. They don't age.
That's true. Well, yeah, they're not going to get Alec Baldwin. They're not going to get
Jimmy Like, Davis, at best, they could I'm get, assuming. Like, Billy Baldwin, who kind of maybe looks like Alec Baldwin did in that movie.
Anymore, though?
Well, that's true. He might look more like Alec Baldwin does now.
Like, I think time has caught them all at this point.
Are we out of, like, cute Baldwins? Have we run out of them?
Yeah, like, who's the best-looking Baldwin these days?
Yeah.
What does Google say?
Who's the best-looking Baldwin?
Yeah, okay. This is a commonly searched question. Okay, well...
And it's like, but it's okay for Michael Keaton to be, like, all old, because, like, he was already like a zombie monster anyway.
Yeah, he looked like a mess.
Yeah.
To begin with, so if he still looks like a mess, like, that's not a big deal. Did you know there's a Daniel Baldwin?
Yes.
Oh no, he looks like a guy from, like, New Jersey, who, you know, has tried to, like, get gigs being a Baldwin.
Yeah.
But he looks... This picture makes him look more like... he, like, merged with John Goodman Like, he looks like John Goodman Baldwin. Uh-huh. Okay, this is Billy Baldwin. Billy Baldwin, that he might be the new Alec
That's
Baldwin.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because he's the youngest one, I believe, yeah. Right? Stephen Baldwin. Now, that looks terrible. He looks like he wants to own a baseball team. not that he does, just that he wants to own a baseball team.
He looks like someone who knows the age of consent in every state in the country.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So I don't, but okay, so in the trailer is the model town that the, what were they called? Were they the Maitlands or something? Like, what was their?
I don't know.
But there's the model town, and maybe that's a flashback. I don't know. But the other, maybe you're not surprised by this because I sure wasn't surprised, but they also got Jenna Ortega in the movie, who's the person who plays Wednesday. In
yeah.
The Wednesday
yeah.
Show.
No, I was like, well, yes, she's clearly the, like if they were to like do a reboot, she would have been Winona Ryder in the reboot.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So that's not surprising. No.
So that's the movie. And I don't really know where you go from this, unless it's like Jenna Ortega is like Lydia's daughter, and she's like, I heard about that one time her mom almost married Beetlejuice, and she's like, who are you talking about? Remember the time you came here?
I'm going to assume it's going to be much worse than that, where they like keep the whole idea and concept of ghosts a secret from her, and she has to, and she learns about it on her own because they won't tell her. That compels her to investigate further and then discover it on her own.
Oh, that would be weird. Like, it's somehow like a secret shame of Lydia's or something, or.
Well, then, or it's, but, I mean, the thing is, like you said, are they going to have Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin back as ghosts? Seems unlikely.
No.
So what other ghosts did she know? Like, nobody, right?
Other than Beetlejuice.
Yeah, and like Beetlejuice was a toxic relationship, right? Like Beetlejuice was the villain in the movie, and they got rid of Beetlejuice. They defeated him, right? Like, that was kind of the concept. Yeah. So she wouldn't, I mean, why would she?
Maybe what happens is Lydia's, like, Jenna Ortega's Lydia's daughter.
Yeah.
And her dad, like Lydia's husband, possibly, or just like baby daddy, dies.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming, is that he's.
Yeah. And then maybe Jenna Ortega like finds the manual for the recently deceased, or whatever that thing's called, the handbook for the recently deceased, and is like, what is this about? And Lydia's like, oh crap, you can see that. And then somehow she like finds out about Beetlejuice and summons him to like find her dad. Right.
But like I said, I feel like it's gonna probably be like we're not gonna talk about Beetlejuice, and then she's going to be plucky and precocious and investigate and find this stuff out on her own, because that's the only way for Beetlejuice to work, right? Is for her to not, like, again, if it's a secret that she learns about, then she has the reason to not trust Winona Ryder. She has a reason not just Lydia and her grandma, right? And instead trust Beetlejuice and then work with him. That's the only way that kind of story works, where Beetlejuice can come back into the picture. Because if Lydia was like open and honest with her daughter, right, then she would know that Beetlejuice is bad news and have nothing to do with him. So it's got to be that kind of like, I learn your secret sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, there is another video game I've been playing. It's one I've been playing with Robbie. Oh. It's like a pixel art type of Valheim. It's called Core Keeper, and it's kind of fun. It's like a little crafting game where but it's set like underground, so you have to kind of like mine your way through, like you have to like dig tunnels and mine your way around to open up new areas instead of just running around on the map. Like you've got to kind of dig through everything. So kind of like, I guess kind of like Terraria in that sense, but it's like a top down version rather than a side scroller version.
It's a top down and you have to dig. You have to dig into
stuff? Yeah, like
stuff?
Top down, kind of like, you know, like, semi-isometric view, you okay. know, that like that kind of like Zelda yeah. or Stardew Valley sort of top down view, right? Yeah. And so like you have to like dig through, like, so you're clearing out blocks, right? And that clears out a space, and then you can turn that into a room and put down your crafting materials and stuff. But like one of the things that's interesting about it is that you can totally genocide the place because so let me explain. Everything, like everything that the way that the game is generated, everything is about like the floor tiles and stuff. So the spots where monsters and things exist are open areas, right? Like that you tunnel up to and find, but they're open, like dug out spaces. But the thing that makes monsters appear is these floor tiles that are covering the ground. So there's like, you know, there's like three layers of depth. There's like walls that you mine through and dig out. And then there's floor tiles that can cover the ground. And you can use a hoe or a shovel to pick those up. And then there's the dirt below that, like a second look. And then if you use a shovel on that, you can dig a chasm. And then like nothing can pass the chasm, right? But you can fill it, like the chasm, you can fill in a chasm by just placing a block in a chasm, or you can build a bridge over the chasm. There's not really a difference between one or the other. They both fill in that space and make it walkable. But the floor tiles, like certain floor tiles, are what determine if a monster will spawn. So there's like slime will, like if an area is covered in this orange slime, then that means like slime monsters will pop, will spawn on that area. There's like a fungus that you can cover the dirt, and that will make mushrooms grow, and it also makes these little mushroom people grow that you have to fight and kill. And then there's these mosses that make all these like tribes of cavelings appear. But if you dig all those up, then the monsters just cease to exist and they won't respawn. They won't come back. But, and here's the interesting thing is you can take those tiles that you dug up and put them somewhere else to force the monsters to appear in a certain space. And so like how, you know,
And that's how you breed them.
Kind of. What we've done with them is we've created these like murder chambers. So
this, yes. So okay. Now I get where you're going with
yes,
this.
Yes. So you create these murder chambers. So basically, like I said, if you dig chasm, nothing can cross the chasm, right? So you create. So you mine out an area, an open space, and then you dig a one tile chasm around it, and then you know you place a temporary bridge, and on the chasm, the isolated little island, you place down all of the monster terrain. And then so I was wrong. There's a couple of floor layers that you can place down because there's things like train tracks and conveyor belts and stuff that you can put on top of floor, and those can go on top of enemy spawning floor tiles. So there's like lots, a couple of, and so a couple you, of floor layers, but one of them,
does that mean is, you can conveyor belt enemies into like chompers, well, or something?
You don't even have to do that, because one of the floor tiles you can place is a spike, a damage spike. So it's like a trap, and anything that walks on the spike takes damage, but you can create like a 12 by 12 room. That's, you know, again, isolated with a chasm so nothing can escape, and then cover that with 144 monster tiles, followed by 144 spike trap. And as soon as the enemies spawn, they're getting murdered by spike traps. And then it just, every once in a while, you place a bridge and walk over there and collect all of the leavings from.
Okay, so there are like goods.
Yeah. Obviously, you get stuff for killing them. Otherwise, there'd be no practical reason for the murder traps.
And you can't set up like a conveyor belt system to just move the murder goods?
Okay, so this is, so kind of. I attempted this with the slimes because they're the most docile. I have a room that is covered in slimes, followed by a treadmill. And the treadmills all kind of converge down to a single point. And then that single point is a floor spike. So they all get shunted down into this floor spike. But then the problem is like, yeah, okay, now I've got to like walk up to that floor spike and collect it. But like, so I was trying to like skip that step a little bit, but like, cause I still want the chasm to keep them from escaping. And that's the problem, is you still got to do that bridge. But I mean like, so
I guess what I'm, the missing link here is you need some sort of, like, you need a mechanism the conveyor belt feeds into that is like a chomper. Yeah. And then the bridge is just the conveyor belt over the chasm, but it has to go through the chomper.
Yeah. But so the problem is, like what you're talking about, like the ideal situation would be, yeah, you conveyor belt all of the enemies into this spike trap, and that murders them. And then there's a way to like streamline accessing that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something I'm still working on. I'm still workshopping this process, but,
I haven't
teched up enough, but there is like a rope. There's a tech that we haven't got access to yet, but I've seen on a crafting called a robotic arm. Now that is important to this process, because the robotic arm, you can say like, okay, move something from this area to that area. And so I think kind of the ideal situation is you shunt everything into this murder spike, and that creates a pile of loot there. And then the robotic arm proceeds to move it into a chest or what have you. Like,
oh, okay. So it's like the clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I guess you do need like a remains room.
Yes, exactly. So that's the problem. It's like getting the thing to like suck up all of the leavings. Yeah. And so that's the next step. The real thing to use the conveyor belts and robotic arms stuff for is to automate things like mining. So when you're digging through, you can see like some of the walls that you dig through have like, you can see a little shimmer of ore in them. So if you see like there's a block, it's like a dirt block, but then it's got some like metal shards in it, and you mine that one up and you get like one metal ore. But there's these like big like kind of deposits that you can find that are like a 2x2 thing of like, this has just got, if you find one of those, you can't just mine it yourself with a pickaxe, but there's a tool called a drill, and you can mount, because it's, you know, because it's a 2x2 thing, you can aim up to 8 drills on all 4 sides to drill into it. And those things contain like 1800 resources, 1800 of that metal. Like the max you can get in a stack is 999. So it's almost 2 full stacks of ore. And so I have done this, right? It's like surround the ore with the drills and then place a conveyor belt to like move all of the ore. Like once it comes out of the drill, it comes out of the back of the drill. And so then you have conveyor belts to send it out, because we have the fast travel in the game is mining carts. And so you have to place down train tracks. And so we have this like huge loop around like the known world of train tracks. And so you like ride this. So the conveyor belts all send that those resources back to the train tracks. So when I want to gather what has been mining automatically over time from those ore deposits, I just get on the train, get in a mining cart, and just ride around in my cart to go hit all of those points.
Okay. So yeah. So what you need is for some kind of robot arm to dump
it. Well, the conveyor belt can get it close enough that when I go by on the train, it picks it up.
Oh,
yeah.
I meant
yes, for the monster murder machine. Yes. You need like some way to get it across that chasm. But it like, and that's the problem is like, they can't, like, the enemies don't seem to be able to damage the floor tiles, but any other, like, type of man-made structures that you put in their path, they can, like, damage them and break them and stuff. And so that's the problem with, like, certain things. If you use certain tools or things, they might break them. And so,
yeah,
still okay. Kind of figuring out. But for now, it's easy enough to just, like, plop a bridge and walk over and gather the stuff, because most of the time, everything on the thing is dead. It's like, I'm not worried about, like, while I'm gathering up their leavings, that something's going to show up and kill me, because it's going to be getting murdered by spikes. Even if something tried to, like, spawn while I was picking up the stuff, like, it would get, like, its ass handed to it by all the floor spikes anyway. But the main thing is that they can't escape. So,
yeah.
Some of our early designs, we used walls instead of chasms, and learned that some of the enemies could dig through walls. And so we had a couple of escapes early on and then learned our lesson.
Well, it's been a little over an hour. Do you want to? I think we've got the name of the episode, though.
Was it Kink Domhard?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a subtitle to that.
No, I think that says everything it needs to say.
Yeah.
Yep.